your seats. They always will be. Amen. Before we go any further, and this is for Mike. Hey, Barb.
Yeah.
It's for you, buddy. Did I ever tell you that I prayed to God and asked him to give me a new car?
No, I don't believe you did.
Well, I realized that that was theologically wrong, so I stole one and then asked for forgiveness. So. Take it with you, buddy. You're up, Mark. It is just a joy for me to have Mark come up here. Yeah. Mark does so much for us, and just with a heart that, boy, I just envy. And if you ever get the chance to talk to him, he knows why he does it. And, well, here we go.
Love you, brother. This isn't easy. I'm a little nervous. I don't know if Jeff and Kevin could probably tell you. As I was pondering to do this, I kept getting these voices in my head saying, "Mark, no, don't do that. You can't do something else. Do this." That's not. Nah, it's been on my heart for a while to do this. And then last night, sitting in a chair, I start getting sick. Got real lightheaded, and that's not because of this. I was literally getting sick, so I went to bed at 8:30. And I said, oh, man, I'm going to have to call Jeff and said, I hope he has a sermon because I'm not going to be able to do it. But, no, it I feel a lot better. One of my brothers in the upper room does this. He memorized this whole thing by heart. Didn't have anything. But the title of the sermon would be The Letter. And it's not my words, it's Paul's words. And I'm going to read Philippians. I think it touches, it means more to me. And I've read it like probably 10 or 20 times this week so I can get it. And I've listened to it online. I didn't know how I was going to present it. I've thought of getting dressed like I did for the upper room to make it more reality, to bring chains with me to make it more reality. Our brother Paul wasn't in an office or at a computer writing this letter to his church in Philippians. He was in a jail cell with chains on his legs and being whipped. So if you can picture that while he writes this letter. So if anybody wants to follow along, you have a Bible, it's fine. But I'm going to read Philippians. And excuse me if I stutter or mispronounce some words. From Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ, the pastors and deacons and all the Christians in the city of Philippi. May God bless you all. Yes, I pray that God our Father and the Lord Christ will give each of you the fullest blessings and his peace in your hearts and your lives. All my prayers for you are full of praise to God. When I pray for you, my heart is full of joy because of all you, your wonderful help in making known the good news about Christ. From the time you first heard it until now, and I am sure that God who began the good work within you will keep right on helping you grow in his grace until his task within you is finally finished on that day when Christ Jesus returns. How natural it is that I should feel as I do about you, for you have a very special place in my heart. We have shared together the blessings of God, both when I was in prison and when I was out. Defending the truth, telling others about Christ. Only God knows how deep is my love and longing for you, with tenderness of Jesus Christ. My prayer for you is that you will overflow more and more with love for others, and at the same time, keep on growing in spiritual knowledge and insight. For I know I want you always to see clearly the difference between right and wrong, and to be inwardly clean, no one being able to criticize you from now until the Lord returns. May you always be doing those good, kind things which show that you are a child of God. For this will bring much praise and glory to the Lord. And I want you to know this, dear brothers, everything that has happened to you, or to me, here has been a great boost in getting out the good news concerning Christ. For everyone around here, including all the soldiers over all the barracks, knows that I am in chains simply because I'm a Christian. And because of my imprisonment, many of the Christians here seem to not have lost their fear of chains. Somehow my patience and encouragement them that they will become more and more bold in telling others about Christ. Some, of course, are preaching the good news because they are jealous of the way God has used me. They want the reputations as fearless preachers, but others have pure motives, preaching because they love me, for they know that the Lord has brought me here to use me to defend the truth. And some preach to make me jealous, thinking that their success will add to their sorrows here in jail. But whatever their motive for doing it, the fact remains the good news about Christ is being preached, and I am glad. I'm going to keep on being glad, for I know that this is, as you pray for me and as the Holy Spirit helps me, this is all going to turn out for my good. For I live in an eager expectation and hope that I will never do anything that will cause me to be ashamed of myself, but I am always to be ready to speak out boldly for Christ while I'm going through all these trials here, just as I have in the past, and I will always be an honor to Christ, whether I live or whether I must die. For me, living means opportunities for Christ, and dying well, that's better yet. But if living will give me more opportunity to speak, to win people to Christ, then I really don't know which is better, to live or to die. Sometimes I want to live, at other times I don't, for as long as I go on, be with Christ. How much happier it would be for me than being here. But the fact is that I can be of more help to you by staying. Yes, I am still indeed down here, so I feel certain I will be staying here on earth a little longer to help you grow and becoming happy in your faith. By staying, will make you glad and give you reason to glorify Christ Jesus for keeping me safe when I return to visit you again. But whatever happens to me, remember always to live as a Christian should. So whatever I see you again or not, I will keep on hearing good reports that you are standing side by side with one strong purpose to tell the good news fearlessly. No matter what your enemies may do, they will see this as a sign their downfall. But for you, it will be a clear sign from God that he is with you and that he has given you eternal life with him. For to you has been given the privilege not only of trusting him, but also of suffering for him. We are in this fight together. You have seen me suffer for him in the past, and I am still in the midst of great and terrible struggle now, as you know as well. Is there any such thing as a Christian cheering each other up? Do you love me enough to want me to help? Does it mean anything to you that we are brothers in the Lord, sharing the same spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic to all? Then make me truly happy by loving each other and agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, working together with one heart, mind, and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live like a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better of yourself. Don't just think about your own affairs, but interest in others too, and in what they are doing. Your attitude should be the kind that's shown us by Jesus Christ. who through he was God, did not demand or cling on his rights as God, but laid aside his mighty power and his glory, taking the disguise of a slave and becoming like men. And he humbling himself even further, going so far as actually die a criminal's death on a cross. It has become this, that God raised him up to the heights of heaven and gave him the name which above all other name, the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory to the God the Father. Dearest friends, when I was there with you, you were always so careful following my instructions. And now that I am away, you must be even more careful to do the good things that result of being saved, obeying God with deep reverence, shrinking back from all the might displeasing him. For God is at work within you, helping you to want to obey, and then helping you do the things he wants. And everything you do, stay away from complaining and arguing, so that no one can speak a word of blame against you. You are to live clean, innocent lives as children of God in a dark world full of people who are crooked and stubborn. Shine out among them like beacon lights, holding out to them the word of life. Then when Jesus Christ returns, how glad I will be that your work among you was so worthwhile. And if the lifeblood is, so to speak, to be poured out over your faith, which I am offering up to God as a sacrifice, that is, if I am to die for you, even then I will be glad, and will be share in the joy with each of you. For you should be happy about this, and rejoice with me for having this privilege of dying for you. If the Lord is willing, I will send Timothy to see you soon. Then, when he comes back, he can cheer me up by telling me all about you and how you are getting along. There is no other one like Timothy for having a real interest in you. Everyone else seems to be worrying about his own plans and not those of Jesus Christ. But you know Timothy, he has been just like a son to me in helping me preach the good news. I hope to send him to you just as soon as I find out what's going to happen to me here. And I am trusting the Lord that soon I myself may come to see you. Meanwhile, I thought I ought to send Epaphroditus back to you. You sent him to me to help me in my need, when he and I have been real brothers working and battling side by side. Now I'm sending him home again, for he has been homesick for all of you and upset because you heard that he was ill. And surely he was. In fact, he almost died. But God had mercy on him, and on me too, not allowing me to have this sorrow on top of everything else. So I am all the more anxious to get him back to you again, for I know how thankful you will be to see him, and that will make me happy and lighten all our cares. Welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and show your appreciation, for he has risked his life for the work of Christ, and was at the point of death while trying to do for me the things that couldn't be done because you were far away. Whatever happens, dear friends, be glad in the Lord. I never get tired of telling you this, and it is good for you to hear it again and again. Watch out for those wicked men, dangerous dogs, I call them, who say, you must be circumcised to be saved. For it isn't the cutting of your bodies that makes you children of God. It is the worshiping him with our spirits. That is the only true circumcision. We Christians glory in what Christ Jesus has done for us and realize that we are helpless to save ourselves. Yet if anyone ever heard, heard if any If anyone ever had the reason of hope that he could be saved himself, it would be me. If others could be saved by what they are, certainly I could. For I went through the Jewish initiation ceremony when I was 8 days old. Having been born into the pre-blooded Jewish home that I was the branch of, the old original Benjamin family, so I was a real Jew, if there ever was one. What's more, I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to every Jewish law and custom. And sincere, yes, so much so that I greatly persecuted the church. And I tried to obey every Jewish rule and regulation right down to the very last point. But all these things that I once thought were very worthwhile, now I've thrown them all away, so that I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have put aside all else, counting it worthless than nothing else, in order that I might have Christ and become one with him, no longer counting on being saved by the good enough or obeying God's laws, but by trusting Christ to save me. For God's way of making us right with himself depends on faith, counting on Christ alone. Now I have given up everything else. I have found it to be the only way to really show Christ and to experience his mighty power that brought him back to life again, and to find out what it means to suffer and to die with him. So whatever it takes, I will be the one who lives in the flesh and newness of life of those who are alive from the dead. I don't mean to say I am perfect. I haven't learned all I should even yet. But I keep working toward that day when I will finally be all that Christ saved me for and wants me to be. No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be. I am bringing all the urgencies to bear on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to all that lies ahead. I strain to reach the end of the race and to receive the prize for which God is calling us up to heaven because of what Christ Jesus did for us. I hope all of you mature Christians see eye to eye with me on these things. And if you disagree on some point, I believe that God will make it plain to you. If you fully obey the truth, you have. Dear brothers, pattern your lives after mine, and notice who else lives up to my example. For I have told you often before, and I say it again now with tears in my eyes, there are many who walk along Christians' roads who are really enemies of the cross of Christ. Their future is eternal loss, for their God is their appetite. They are proud of what they should be ashamed of, and all they think about is this life on earth. But our homeland is in heaven, where our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ, is, and we are looking forward to his return from there. When he comes back, he will take these dying bodies of ours and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same mighty power he will use to conquer all else everywhere. Dear brother Christians, I love you and long to see you, for you are my joy and my reward for my work. My beloved friends, stay true to the Lord. And now I want you to plead with those two dear women, Eudaitis and Stephanie, and no more be friends again. And I asked you, my true teammate, to help these women, for they have worked side by side with me in telling the good news to others. And they worked with Clement to the rest of the fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see you are unselfish and considerate in all you do. remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for your answers. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than any human mind can understand. His peace will keep your thoughts and your hearts quiet and at rest as you trust in Christ alone. And now, brothers, as I close this letter, let me say this one thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Think about things that are pure, lovely, and dwell on the fine, good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about it. Keep putting into practice all you learned from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. How grateful I am and how I praise the Lord that you are helping me again. I know you have always been anxious to send what you could, but for now, didn't have a chance. Now that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to get along happily wherever I am, with little or much. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I have learned the secret of contentment in every situation. Whether it be full stomach or hunger, plenty or want, for I can do everything God asks me to do with the help of Christ who gives me the strength and the power. But even so, you have done right in helping me in the presence of difficulty. As you well know, when I first brought the gospel to you and then went on to my way to Macedonia, only you Philippians became my partners in giving and receiving. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help twice. But though I appreciate your gifts, and what makes me happiest is the well-earned reward you have because of your kindness. At the moment I have all I need, more than I need, I am generously supplied with the gifts you sent me. Epaphroditus came. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that pleases God well. And it is He who will supply all your needs for His riches and glory because of what Christ Jesus has done for us. And now unto God, our Father, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. I've read that quite a few times, and every time I need to hear it about thanking Him and everything and not grumbling and complaining about anything. Here's a man, all he wanted was to know Jesus and come closer to Him, regardless of what happened to him, whether he was thrown in jail. His goal was to spread the good news, and that's our job, is to spread the good news. Amen.